Okay. Fourth chapter of Jonah. It's a short book. Very powerful story, though, that it tells. And it kind of ends abruptly. We don't really know exactly what all happens to Jonah afterwards. We get some clues. But I want you to remember something, that Jonah was a prophet of God. He was doing his job. He was going through the motions. He had this terrible hatred for the Ninevites. It was probably deserved too. But they had a terrible hatred of them. And he just couldn't get past it. God spoke to him. There were other prophets that God could have used. Probably prophets that were more willing. But God chose Jonah. He said, go to Nineveh and basically preach. Jonah, of course, didn't want any part of that. He didn't want even being around these folks. And there's a good chance that if you preach God's word to them, that they might actually become saved, converted. So he took off, but not to Nineveh. Got on that big boat going to Tarshish. Waves come up. Storm that the sailors had never seen before. They were throwing stuff off the boat. They were thinking, whose God did we tick off right now? Jonah comes up, that would be mine. And he says, well, what do we do? And he could have said, well, we'll turn around and I'll follow God and we'll go back to Tarshish. I'll go to Nineveh. But no, he says, throw me off the boat. Just get rid of me. He would rather die than to go to Nineveh, to the people he didn't like. Well, we know what happens. God had prepared a great big old fish. It probably was a whale. They didn't know the difference. They didn't realize probably that the whale was a mammal. But whatever the case, it was prepared for Jonah. He got ate up. He was in the belly of the whale, fish, for 3 days and three nights. And then we talked about what was he to do in there. Well, he got right. He had to come to Jesus meeting. That's basically what happened. And he prayed. Got right with God. And what we find last week at the very end, this is kind of gross, but the fish vomited him out into dry land. I want you to imagine what Jonah must have smelled like. What he'd been through. And the acids. It wasn't like he had a table and chair and a recliner in there. It was not pleasant. God had gotten his attention. And as I was growing up, I thought that was the story. I never had read the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah. Until one day as a young man, I actually was going through and I read it and started looking at it. I got to the fourth chapter and I go, why haven't I heard this in Sunday school? No one tells about what happens next. I was excited. I'd learned something. And it left an impression on me. Because you want to believe that Jonah had got it all together there while he spent those days and nights praying to God, and that for the rest of his life he was going to be fine and he was going to serve God piously. That he would have changed on the inside by something that happened on the outside. That really didn't happen. The story does not end happily ever after for Jonah. So let's read what does happen in the fourth chapter of Jonah, starting in verse 1. All right. Remember what happened when he went to Nineveh? They all repented. He was afraid of this. When God's word was spoken, he repented. They all repented. And that should make any preacher happy, right? Any preacher happy that when God's word is spoken and they see an immediate come to Jesus moment? But something was wrong. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Why? Because they didn't deserve God. They didn't deserve Him. In verse 2, we continue. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? I knew this was going to happen. I knew that they would come to you, and that's why I ran. Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. I know that's who you are. And I knew this would happen." But he goes on, verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Wow. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right? We'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter. And he sat under it in the shade till he might see what become of the city. Remember the message that he says, you're going to, judgment and destruction is coming. All right? But they all repented. And Jonah's going, man, I wish they wouldn't. I want to see this city burn. So he got up there and he goes, but I know God's going to do it. I know He's going to save them. So he got up on the side there, overlooking the city, and he waited. I don't know how long he waited, but he waited to see if God was going to destroy the city or not. In verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a plant, a gourd, if you will, and made it come up over Jonah. So he's sitting there, and God grew this plant. And it grew over it, that it might shade his head to deliver him from his misery. It was hot out there. God was taking care of Jonah by providing him shade from the heat. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Isn't it interesting? God prepared one of the biggest of animals to take care of Jonah. And then He prepares a little bitty worm. So that it so damaged the plant that the plant withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Not only did he lost his shade, but God prepared a wind to come so to make him even more miserable. And then he wished death for himself. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plan? Jonah replied back, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which you are more, in which are more than 120,000 persons, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? You're taking pity on a gourd, but there's 120,000 people down there that you're saying I shouldn't take pity on. And then the story ends. We are left to wonder Well, did Jonah just die there? He didn't see the destruction. That didn't happen until much, 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 much later. Did he go about and change his heart and his mind? We don't know. But I know one thing. This message is there for us today. It is given to us. This story is given so that we can learn from it. You see, there is something that is just terribly wrong in our churches and with our church people. We're not talking about lost people here. We're talking about Christians today. When we lose our compassion. When we lose our... And this is exactly what he's done, what Jonah had done. He had lived with hate. He had lived with hatred for the Ninevites for so long. Maybe, and we don't know, but it's maybe speculation. Maybe the Ninevites in some war or something had killed part of his family. We don't know. But we just know that this hatred went beyond the norm. When we lose our compassion, our feelings become inflexible. You can't change my mind. Can you? Have you ever been that way? You just can't. I don't care what you say, you ain't changing my mind, even if you're right. Jonah's hardened heart filled him with prejudice. Yeah, this country has had its run in with prejudice and that kind of attitude. The hardened hearts. Where they think some people aren't better than others. That God makes some people more special than others. Now I want you to think about it from Jonah's perspective. Jonah was part of God's people. He's ours. We're his and he's ours. I don't want to share it with anyone. I just want to share him with those people that I like. Jonah's hardened his heart, filled him with pride. I am God's child, and they don't deserve to hear about God. Or with hate. There it goes beyond just pride here, doesn't it? He had hate in his heart. Jonah's lack of compassion caused him to be angry. He was angry because of something good that happened to someone else. It caused him to be bitter. And it caused him to be inflexible. It didn't matter what God said. He wasn't going to change his mind or change his attitude. You see, I believe that this has happened in our churches. Is it? No, not maybe not to that extent. But I believe our hearts have been hardened. Because I think there's an attitude that people outside of our church, they're just not as good as we do because we've got Jesus. And they don't. And so that makes us better. That makes us special. The only thing special about me is what Jesus did for me. And I'm going to say it about you too because it's the truth. That person down and out in his luck, without a home, he's just as special to Jesus. And he loves you. He loves him just as much as he loves me. Sometimes our hearts get hardened. Our feelings become inflexible. He said, well, Brother Randy, I don't have that. Well, you remember the adulterous woman got this is a test of our compassion. They brought a woman up and says, we caught her in a very active adultery. By the way, you're being caught very active because there's a guy involved too. Okay? just say it. But they pull her up. What would you have us do? Scripture says this. And it was a terrible penalty. The penalty was being stoned to death. I mean, that's the penalty. It very seldom happened, but that's the penalty. And they knew that Jesus claimed who he was, claimed to be who he was, would have to follow the law. And he just looked at him and said, and he could have followed it and said, that's terrible of that person to do that. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They all turned and walked away. Yeah, he had compassion on someone who did probably, by the law, deserved it. What about Christ looking out at the multitudes? He looked at the multitudes and he says, the harvest is ripe and the harvest. The people didn't just ripe. People, they're there. He said, where are the workers? And he went and he healed. He showed such compassion upon people who were not your, normally weren't really looked upon. How about those who had the leprosy? They were the scourge of the earth. And what did Jesus do? He says, he touched them and he healed them. That's the compassion, reaching out because it was hard. And then I want to tell you something else about how we can gauge our compassion. Jesus Christ came, submitted himself as a child in human form, lived a sinless life, but it wasn't an easy life. And when he became a man, he went about his Father's business. And in doing so, he was ridiculed and mocked. Finally led to a place where he was betrayed by one of his own. And he was spit upon. He was beaten with lashes. His body was torn apart. He was brought before several magistrates and government officials. And every one of them could not let him, just couldn't let him go. And at the end, he was condemned to die for sins that he never committed. And he was placed upon the cross. A crown of thorns embedded into his head. He was spit upon, mocked, his clothes gambled upon. And as he hung on that cross, it had been very easy for you or I to look at those guards and to look at the people who hours before had said crucify him and condemn them in strong terms. But do you know what he said instead? Do you know what he did instead? He didn't harden his heart to the atrocities that we did to him. You know what he did? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So let me ask you what God asked Jonah. Is it right that you're angry? What problems in life are going to cause you to be angry at God after what he's done for you? Is it right that we're angry after what God has done for us? So our feelings become inflexible. We get to a point where our hearts are hardened and we're never going to change our minds about the people, about church, or even about God. You see, what we do is we focus on the insignificant. Jonah loved that gourd. He loved that plant that God made. Are you enjoying some of the things that God has provided for us in your life? Oh, there's one. I love our camper, our trailer. I love the things that God has provided us. We love our bed. There's lots of things that we hold precious. We love in this life. I love air conditioning. Right? That's one of the great things. It's the greatest invention of the 20th century. It changed everything. It really did. And I love those things. And what if God just took it away from us? You see, Sometimes we have more compassion on things than we do people. See, Jonah's compassion was for the gourd. God literally raised it up in one night, in one day, and gave him shade. And Jonah said, "Thank you, God, for that." And then he went about and joined the gourd. And then God took it away. Jonah was waiting for the destruction. He wasn't waiting to see if Nineveh was going to repent. He already knew they were. He was waiting to see if God was going to honor his promise about destruction. He could not wait for someone to fall. Jonah was comforted by the Lord, and it kind of probably says, okay, well, maybe God is going to destroy him. He's provided me this great comfort in life. And then God prepares a worm and the gourd dies. He gets mad at God. He gets mad at God. You see the problem with his mixed up priorities? Jonah looked to the gourd for his comfort, not to God. Jonah cared about the gourd because it comforted him. But you see, it's like in everything else in life, all the things that God gives us in this life, it is a temporary thing. It may last for a day. It may last for 10 years. It may last for 100 years. But everything is temporary in this life except for one thing, and that's your immortal soul. That's the only thing permanent in life. And you would think the things that are most important in life are the things that are permanent, the things that last, the things that are really real. And Jonah had some mixed up priorities. He loved that gourd because it temporarily gave him some satisfaction. The gourd was a temporary thing. But God's comfort is everlasting. He'll never pull his comfort away from you. The comfort of knowing where you're going to go when you pass from this life. It was a lesson that Jonah needed to learn. You see, our standards of compassion, we think we have compassion. But really, our standards of compassion are only when we benefit from it. Lots of times, where our standards are like, well, I will show some compassion, but I need to get something from it. Or, I'm going to show compassion, but that person really doesn't deserve it. Wow. That person really doesn't deserve my compassion. And only those people who touch our lives in some way, only if I know of them can I really be compassionate on. Aren't you glad that these aren't God's standards for compassion? Would we ever have any compassion shown to us from God if these were His standards? And the answer, of course, is no. We'd never have any. But for God so loved the world, that love is not conditional. It is unconditional. We had done some terrible things to God, not only in our own personal lives, but just in general in the world throughout history. We've done some terrible things. Not only have we put him on a cross and killed him, or he put himself there because of our sins, but he has every right to withdraw his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. But he doesn't. You see, we only see things from our point of view. Isn't that right? It's hard to put somebody, ever walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, or maybe try to look through their eyes. But really, we only look from our point of view. Everything just revolves around us. Therefore, since all the things around us now are temporary, and yes, all of us in here are temporary. One day, we'll all be gone, and there'll be new people here, someone new filling this pulpit, or this church may not even be, the building may not even be in existence. We don't know. But we do know at some point in time in the future, everything that you see around us right now will be gone. Because it's temporary. And we only tend to care about those things which affect us in this world right now. The temporary things. You will not always have a job. You'll not always have money. You'll not always think about all the last things. Because things are temporary. And it's called being self-centered. And to some degree, we are all self-centered, aren't we? We think about ourselves. But our lives, as we live our lives, should be God-centered. Understanding that all the rest of this is temporary, but God is forever. And we should take God, put Him in the center of our lives. Thank Him for the temporary things of this life that comfort us, but put it in its proper place. We must look to God to show us the important things to focus on in life, and that we need to forsake the insignificant. We forget what is important. Now, there are some trivial things in life, and there are some important things in life. Jonah was sitting there waiting for his enemies, those people that he hated, to die, hoping that they would die. He forgot to seek God first. He forgot to look beyond himself and see people's real needs. He forgot that the inhabitants of Nineveh were just people like him too. That's the same, isn't it? We tend not to think of people as people anymore, do we? Oh, they're Democrats. They're Republicans. They're black. They're white. They're rich. They're poor. We put these categories on people. But you know what? There's only one category that's important. They're lost. Everything else is temporary. Everything else. If you're rich, you'll lose your money someday. You can put it in the casket, but it's not going to go where you're going to go. It's not going to be there. We look at people as numbers. We look at people. Do you realize that there are over 6 billion people in this world today? And out of those 6 billion people, how many of them really know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And yet we go about our business every day worrying about, well, you name it, your sports team. You worry about the insignificant things of what's on TV. The insignificant things of life. And we go about our lives unconcerned, uncaring about a lost and dying world that's out there that needs to know Jesus Christ, because it's not us. It's not in my family. It's not in my world of influence. So yes, we can be a whole lot. As a matter of fact, have you ever said, man, that person just needs, I hate that. I hate those people. I hate that group of people. I hate what they stand for. And you wish them ill. I'm not going to say you wish them dead, but you wish that they wouldn't succeed, that they would be, God to take, have you ever said God to take care of them? The best way to getting rid of an enemy is how? Make them your friend. The best way of dealing with people is to care enough about those people that you don't like as to have them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and they become part of your family. You still may not like them, but you're going to love them enough and care enough, because each and every person that you see driving down the road needs to know Jesus Christ. Many years ago, me and Caleb went to New York City, and it was just amazing, the number of people. It was just incredible. It made me realize that there is a whole world out there that we don't see. And I would look at them walking down the street and say, I wonder if they even know about Jesus. What do they know? Unfortunately, it doesn't, translate that to every day in life. Sometimes we just go about our business caring about what we care about, the insignificant things, and we just go on and say, well, not my problem. God's will is what's really important. That we love one another. That we follow Him in all things. And that His will is that all men be saved. God wanted the people of Nineveh, as terrible people as they were, He wanted them to hear God's word. Because He wanted them. He loved those people just as He loved Jonah. If I'd have been God, Jonah started hating on me like he did, I'd done more than get rid of the gourd. I'd have probably a few chosen lightning bolts down there next to Jonah, or maybe accidentally hitting him. I'd taken him out for what he was saying to me. But God does not do that. God is merciful. He was merciful even to Jonah. Showing Jonah the hypocrisy in his heart and his life. We say we love men. We say we love the lost people. But do we? Do we really? Or are we unconcerned? Are we truly a compassionate people? Are we a people who have lost our compassion except for those who we care about? Now, if you think that's tough, I feel it myself. I understand the hypocrisy. We get lost in our own little worlds and we forget about those who are lost and dying. And in some cases, you'll say, I don't even want to talk to those people. I don't want to talk to that person because I don't like that person. And you have no compassion in your heart, and before we know it, we are sitting back and saying, you see, now they're going to self-destruct, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see them fall. Maybe not so many words, but don't we do that at times? People we don't like. When the answer is so evident, the answer is they need Jesus just like we needed Jesus. And we need to tell them. The story of Jonah ends. We don't know how Jonah responds to this. I have my doubts of whether Jonah actually regained his compassion. I'd have my doubts of what God did to Jonah changed anything with him. Maybe it did. 120,000 people. Jonah was sitting back waiting for God to destroy him. He was made to preach the word. His heart wasn't in it. And even despite his heart wasn't in it, they turned to God. And he was a very unhappy messenger. I think at times, we present ourselves as unhappy messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I got to talk to him. You should want to. We should want to. Say, Brother Randy, how do we change this? Well, the first thing we do is we remember what Christ has done for us. Just remember what He did for us. There's no way in the world He should have died for my sins. He shouldn't have died for yours either. Holy and righteous God taking upon the world, the sins of the world upon Him. His own Father turning His back on Him. For that few moments until he died. That's incredible. Yeah, that's the start. And then you spend some time with God telling Him how grateful you are, thankful you are for what He's done. Get to know, get in fellowship with Him, draw closer to Him. And I believe He'll change your heart. And I think you'll see compassion flow from you. It's part of the gifts of the Spirit. You know? When you're spirit filled, what you'll see is God flowing, God's gifts flowing out from you. It'll be a natural thing. The closer you are to Christ, it'll be natural for you to have compassion on people and love them enough to tell them. So as we stand this morning, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I just know that if you're a saved child of God, fantastic. I just know that if you have experienced that grace and mercy, compassion from Jesus, that you need to be thankful and realize that you didn't deserve it. And I think you need to also understand that there are so many people around you that need to hear about what He did for you. There's some people in my life, and I probably in yours too, that if they were to die today, I don't think I'd see them anymore. No. I don't think I'd see them anymore. I hope. Do I care? Do I care enough to ask? Do I care enough to show what God can do for them? And that's people you love. You multiply that out. Billions of times. Every single person matters to God. Every single person should matter to us. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you matter to me and you matter to Him. I'm asking today that as the music plays, that God speaks to your heart. Tell you and give you an invitation to come to Him at Jesus today. Because He loves you. He cares for you. And I say this today for no other reason. He cares. So as we sing, would you come?
Number 516.